Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Verse Number 35. Sa esa naraloke smin avatirna swamayaya remestri ratnakutasto Bhagavan prakrito yata. Purport, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, appeared on this planet by his internal potency and enjoyed himself amongst competent women as if he were engaging in mundane affairs. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord married and lived like a householder. This is certainly like a mundane affair. But when we learn that he married 16,108 wives and lived with them separately in each and every palace, certainly it is not mundane. Therefore, the Lord, living as a householder amongst his competent wives, is never mundane, and his behavior with them is never to be understood as mundane sex relationship. And mundane sex relation. The women who became the wives of the Lord are certainly not ordinary women, because to get the Lord as one's husband is the result of many, many millions of births, tapasya, austerity. When the Lord appears on different lokas or planets, or on this planet of human beings, he displays his transcendental pastimes just to attract the conditioned souls to become his eternal servitors, friends, parents, and lovers, respectively in the transcendental world, where the Lord eternally reciprocates such exchanges of service. Service is pervertedly represented in the material world and broken untimely, resulting in sad experience. The illusion living being, conditioned by material nature, cannot understand out of ignorance that all our relations here in the mundane world are temporary and full of inebrieties. Inebriety meaning intoxication. Such relations cannot help us be happy perpetually. But if the same relation is established with the Lord, then we are transferred to the transcendental world. After leaving this material body and become eternally related with him in the relation we desire. Women amongst whom he lived as their husband are not, therefore, women of this mundane world, but are eternally related with him as transcendental wives, a position which they attain by perfection of devotional service. That is their competency. The Lord is Param Brahma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Conditioned souls seek after perpetual happiness. In all places, not only on this earth, but on the other planets throughout the universe, because constitutionally a spiritual spark, as he is, can travel to any part of God's creation. But being conditioned by the material modes, he tries to travel in space by spacecraft and so fails to reach his destination. The law of gravitation is binding upon him like the shackles of a prisoner. By other processes, he can reach anywhere. But even if he reaches the highest planet, he cannot attain that perpetual happiness. He cannot attain that professional happiness for which he is searching life after life. When he comes to his senses, however, he seeks after Brahman happiness, knowing it for certain that unlimited happiness, which he is seeking, is never attainable in the material world, which as such, the Supreme Being, Parabrahman, certainly does not seek his happiness anywhere in the material world. Nor can his paraphernalia of happiness be found in the material world. He is not impersonal. Because he is the leader and supreme being amongst innumerable living beings, he cannot be impersonal. He is exactly like us, and he has all the propensities of an individual living being in fullness. He marries exactly like us, but his marriage is neither mundane nor limited by our experience in the conditioned state. His wives, therefore, appear like mundane women, but factually, they are all transcendental, liberated souls, perfect manifestations of material energy. Okay, it's a wonderful purport. And again, there are many, many important points here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So when Krishna was in Dwarka, he lived just like an ideal grihastha. This is explained in the Krishna book very nicely. Let me see where it is. When we read this, it's amazing because Krishna's daily activities, chapter 146. Chapter 70. 146. So it says here, from the Vedic mantras, we learn that the Supreme Personality Godhead has nothing to do natashikaryam karanam chavidyate. But if the Supreme Lord has nothing to do, how can we speak of the activities of the Supreme Lord? From the previous chapter, it is clear that no one can act the way the Lord does. We should clearly note this fact. The activities of the Lord should be followed, but they cannot be imitated. For example, Krishna's ideal life as a grihastha can be followed. But if one wants to imitate Krishna by expanding into many forms, that is not possible. We should always remember, therefore, that Lord Krishna, although playing the part of a human being, simultaneously maintains the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can follow Lord Krishna's dealings with his wives as an ordinary human being, but his dealings with more than 16,000 wives at one time cannot be imitated. The conclusion is that to become ideal householders, we should follow in the footsteps of Lord Krishna as he displayed his daily activities, but we cannot imitate him at any stage of our life. So that's a beautiful introduction. Lord Krishna used to lie down with his 16,000 wives, but he would also rise from bed very early in the morning, 3 hours before sunrise. Wow, 3 hours before sunrise. Interesting. By nature's arrangement, the crowing of the cocks, in other words, the roosters, warns of the Brahma Muhurta hour. There is no need of alarm clocks. As soon as the cocks crow early in the morning, it is to be understood that it is time to rise from bed. Hearing that sound, well, now here's one reason why we should have roosters. I'm gonna buy a rooster now. I had one, but it was eaten by the coyotes. Somebody gave us a rooster. He put an ad in the Craigslist. He said, "If you can come and catch the rooster, you can have it." So Krishna Rastaya and Umar went there to his house, and he had a very big yard, and it was impossible for him to catch the rooster. But Omar chased the rooster and caught it. He's very good at catching roosters and snakes and frogs and different things like that. And he brought it home, and it was a very good rooster. He got along with the cows. And he, like, owned the place, right? And he used to do the cock-a-doodle-doo every day. But his fatal flaw was he went out at night and got eaten by the... We weren't locking him up. We thought he would just naturally stay in the barn with the cows, which he was doing. And to avoid being stepped on by the cows, he would jump up. There was a high platform. He would jump up there. I don't know how he did it, but he was able to do it. But he went out one night, and he got eaten. So not all roosters are smart. So hearing that sound, the cock-a-doodle-doo of the rooster, Krishna would get up from bed, but his rising earlier was not very much to the liking of his wives. The wives of Krishna were so much attached to him that they would lie in bed embracing him. And as soon as the cocks crowed, Krishna's wives would be very sorry and would immediately condemn the crowing. In the garden within the compound of each palace, there were parijata flowers. The parijata is not an artificial flower. We remember that Krishna brought the parijata trees from heaven and implanted them in all his palaces. He brought it from Indraloka. Early in the morning, a mild breeze would carry the aroma of the parijata flower, and Krishna would smell it just after rising from bed. So in our temple in Hawaii, they have night-blooming jasmine tree, a big one. It's a bush, but it's big. And it's right outside the temple. And in the morning, early morning, Mangal Arati time, you smell that fragrance. It's just amazing. For some reason or other, it's stronger during the night than the day. And it's just an amazing fragrance. Okay, so then it says, Krishna would smell it just after rising from bed. Due to this aroma, the honeybees would begin their humming vibration. And the birds also would begin their sweet chirping sounds. So you see, it's all related to aromatherapy of the parijata tree. Everything starts going as soon as they smell. So they have these natural, they don't need clocks. They have these natural occurrences that happen regularly on time. Altogether, it would sound like the singing of professional chanters engaged in offering prayers to Krishna. Although Srimati Rukmini Devi, the first queen of Lord Krishna, knew the Brahma Muhurta is the most auspicious time in the entire day, she would feel disgusted at the appearance of Brahma Muhurta because she was not very happy to have Krishna leave her side in bed. Despite Srimati Rukmini Devi's disgust, Lord Krishna would immediately get up from bed exactly on the appearance of Brahma Muhurta. An ideal householder should learn from the behavior of Lord Krishna how to rise early in the morning, however comfortably he may be lying in bed, embraced by his wife. Wow, we should send this out today to all the Grihastas. Who's going to do it? You going to do it, Daniel? Grihasta means everyone who's married. Yeah. After rising from bed, Lord Krishna would wash his mouth, hands, and feet, and would immediately sit down and meditate on himself. That's because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that. But he can do that because he is God himself. This does not mean, however, that we should also sit down and meditate on ourselves. We have to meditate upon Krishna. Radha Krishna, that is real meditation. Krishna is Krishna himself. Therefore, he was teaching us that Brahma Muhurta should be utilized for meditation on Radha Krishna. By such meditation, Krishna would feel very much satisfied, and similarly, we will also feel transcendentally pleased and satisfied if we utilize the Brahma Muhurta period to meditate on Radha Krishna, and if we think of how Sri Rukmini Devi and Krishna acted as ideal householders to teach the whole human society to rise early in the morning and immediately engage in Krishna consciousness. Wow. Everybody has to do this. There is no difference between meditating on the eternal form of Radha Krishna and chanting the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna. As for Krishna's meditation, he had no alternative but to meditate on himself. The object of meditation is Brahman, Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality Godhead. But Krishna himself is all three. That's a very important point. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, the localized Paramatma in his plenary partial expansion, and the all-pervading Brahman effulgence is the personal rays of his transcendental body. So this proves that Krishna is the origin of Vishnu and Narayana. Therefore, Krishna is always one, and for him, there is no differentiation. That is the difference between an ordinary living being and Krishna. For an ordinary living being, there are many distinctions. An ordinary living being is different from his body, and he is different from other species of living entities. A human being is different from other human beings and different from the animals. Even in his own body, there are different bodily limbs. We have our hands and legs, but our hands are different from our legs. The hand cannot act like the leg, nor can the leg act like the hand. The ears can hear, but the eyes cannot. And the eyes can see, but the ears cannot. All these differences are technically called swajatiya vijatiya. Wow. Swajatiya vijatiya. The bodily limitations whereby one part of the body cannot act as another part is totally absent from the personality of Godhead. There's no difference between his body and himself. He is completely spiritual, and therefore, there is no difference between his body and his soul. Similarly, he is not different from his millions of incarnations and plenary expansions. Baladeva is the first expansion of Krishna. And from Baladeva expands Sankarsan, Vasudeva, Pradumna, and Aniruddha. From Sankarsan, there is an expansion of Narayana. And from Narayana, there is a second quadruple expansion of Sankarsan, Vasudeva, Pradumna, and Aniruddha. Similarly, there are innumerable other expansions of Krishna. But all of them are one. Krishna has many incarnations, such as Lord Nrisimha, Lord Boar, Lord Fish, Lord Tortoise. But there is no difference between Krishna's original two-handed form, like that of a human being, and these incarnations of gigantic animal forms. Nor is there any difference between the action of one part of his body and that of another. His hands can act as his legs, his eyes can act as his ears, or his nose can act as another part of his body. Krishna's smelling and eating and hearing are all the same. We limited living entities have to use a particular part of a body for a particular purpose, but there's no such distinction for Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. Krishna can perform the activities of one limb and Krishna can perform the activities of one limb with any other limb. So by analytical study of Krishna and his person, it is concluded that he is the complete whole. When he meditates, therefore, he meditates on himself. Self-meditation by ordinary men, designated in Sanskrit as soham, is simply imitation. Krishna may meditate on himself because he is the complete whole, but we cannot imitate him and meditate on ourselves. Our body is a designation superimposed upon our soul. The soul. Krishna's body is not a designation. Krishna's body is also Krishna. There is no existence of anything foreign in Krishna. Whatever there is in Krishna is also Krishna. He is therefore the supreme, indestructible, complete existence, or the supreme truth. Krishna's existence is not relative existence. Everything else but Krishna is a relative truth, but Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. Krishna does not depend on anything but himself for his existence. Our existence, however, is relative. For example, only when there is light of the sun, the moon, or electricity are we able to see. Our seeing, therefore, is relative. And the light of the sun and moon and electricity is also relative. They are called illuminating only because we see them as such. But dependence and relativity do not exist in Krishna. His activities are not dependent on anyone else's appreciation, nor does he depend on anyone else's help. He is beyond the existence of limited time and space. And because he is transcendental to time and space, he cannot be covered by the illusion of Maya, whose activities are limited. In the Vedic literature, we find that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has multipotencies, since all of such potencies are emanations from him. There is no difference between him and his potencies. Certain philosophers say, however, that when Krishna comes, he accepts a material body. But even if it is accepted that when he comes to the material world, he accepts a material body, it should be concluded also that because the material energy is not different from him, this body does not act materially. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, therefore, that he appears by his own internal potency, Atma Maya. Okay, we'll stop right there. I'm going to continue this section because it's got a lot of fantastic information. Any questions? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama,